Hello, ladies, and welcome back to our Titus II podcast. Our previous episode centered around being a homemaker and the deeper meaning of that job. In our next few episodes, I want to talk about practical applications related to the physical aspects of housekeeping rather than the emotional and spiritual aspects of being a homemaker. However, before we can tackle taking care of our home, there's one topic I would like to discuss with the younger women I am to admonish. It is definitely at the top of my list for pet peeves. It's laziness. This character flaw must be conquered before you even ask God to bless you with a home to care for. I decided to look up a few verses in God's Word that pertain to laziness, but was overwhelmed by the amount I had to choose from. Apparently, this is something God has much to say about, and He never condones it or mentions it favorably. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. We will read a few passages from this book. Let's start in Proverbs, verse number 6. It reads, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Now turn to chapter 10, and we'll look at verse number 4. "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Now drop down to verse 26 in that same chapter. "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him." Now let's go to chapter 18, and we're going to read verse number 9. It reads, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." Wow, a great destroyer. A lazy wife and mother will destroy her home. Chapter 19, verse 15 reads, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." You know who else will suffer hunger if you are lazy? Your husband and children. Being a homemaker and a keeper of the house is hard work. It is work that is never ending, work that is sometimes thankless, work that can be tiring, monotonous, and at times overwhelming. But it is also work that can bring you the most joy, the most impromptu laughs, and the most rewarding accomplishments. It is a work you not only do for your family, but as you are caring for them, you are pleasing your Lord. So young women, if you still feel like you need your sleep and you struggle to keep your room clean and you are fine with dishes piling up along with your laundry, you feel no conviction in having days upon days where you are unproductive and you cannot fathom sacrificing any of your me time, you are not ready for the blessings of a home. And I do not say this out of meanness, but rather as a friendly warning that if this is an attribute you possess, you will fail at your job if it is not conquered first. The jobs of a homemaker, wife, and mother are not for the faint-hearted. These jobs belong to those who do not mind getting dirty, going without sleep, rolling up their sleeves and scrubbing the toilets or cleaning up their baby's vomit. These women's lamps do not go out by night, and they rise while it is yet night to care for their home. They have food on their table and in their pantry for their family, and clean clothes and beds for them as well. They also receive the most precious Mother's Day cards from their children and appreciation from their husband when they reach into their sock drawer and find, you guessed it, socks. Clean, folded socks. These hardworking women do not panic with unexpected company because even if their house is lived in, it is still clean and ready to entertain. These women do not glance at the clock at 5:30 or 6 and wonder what in the world they're going to feed their family and then give up without a fight and tell their children to put a frozen pizza in the oven again. They have planned their menus, thought about their family's nutrition, and have the ingredients necessary to prepare a yummy supper in a timely manner, and they plan on doing it again the next night. Organization, routines, and discipline. These are what I consider the trifecta of attributes that are needed in order to run a well-functioning home. These are also things that can be taught and learned. Just because you have struggled with any of these in the past does not mean they cannot be conquered. There are characteristics we possess in our personalities that make up who we are. You may be an introvert, or you may be the life of the party. You may desire a large crowd and never want to be alone, or you may wish you never had to go in public. You may have a boisterous personality, or you may be quiet and gentle. Those characteristics are hard to change. They are just who we are. But anyone can learn to be organized. They can learn how to establish a routine and stick to it, and how to be disciplined. Do not allow yourself to be convinced that once you have struggled with any of these, you are hopeless. It just takes effort. Effort, my sisters, is what we must give to fulfill our roles. For our first practical tip, let's discuss menu planning. Menu planning has been such a help to me. Every week, I look at our schedule for the upcoming week and see what nights I have more time to make a more complicated recipe, what nights need to be something quick and easy, how many I will feed that night, and if I can work leftovers in somewhere. I also start out by asking for my family's input and try to make things they would enjoy and make sure I'm rotating my recipe so that no one gets tired of the same old foods. Once my menus for the week are set, I make out my grocery list because nothing is more frustrating than getting halfway through a meal preparation and realize you are out of a main ingredient. This also helps me maximize our budget and not buy extra things I do not need. And it also prevents me from giving in to that lazy idea of just grabbing another fast food meal, which might cause me to not be a good steward over the money God has blessed us with. Planning menus helps me make sure my meat is thawed out in time and takes the stress out of supper time, which occurs every day at the end of your day when you are most tired and maybe have the least amount of patience. It also helps the family to be able to look at the menu and know what to expect that night. Do not allow your children to treat your kitchen like it is Burger King and everybody can have it their way. Cook one meal for the whole family and put everything you make on your children's plate. Children have to be exposed to a food several times before liking it, so do not give up on those yummy green vegetables and always offer it to them even if they do not eat it. Remember from one of my last episodes, family meals are a must. Turn off the TV and do not allow anyone to have a phone. Make your family meals a time of sharing, fellowshipping, and enjoying the blessings of being able to have a full belly. This time should always begin with prayer and thanks to our Lord for so richly blessing us with nourishment. Menu planning can be one of those jobs that becomes monotonous. But remember, put to death lazy daisy and power through, because next week when it's supper time, you will appreciate it. Once your well-planned meal is complete and you do not allow yourself to go sit on the couch and chill, handle your cleanup business right away, because once the wind is out of your sails, you're stagnant. Or at least this is my experience. As soon as your children are big enough to sit at the table and not at a high chair, they can carry their plates to the sink and learn to throw away trash. When they are older, have everyone help wash dishes, clean up, load the dishwasher, put up leftovers, and wipe down the table. Then, only then, allow yourself to rest or sit because your work is done. My mom could never cook in a dirty kitchen, and I've found that I struggle with this too. If there are dishes in the sink because clean dishes are in the dishwasher and needs to be unloaded, she would handle this first before beginning to cook. But this is kind of what she considered a dirty kitchen. She would have never left her kitchen unclean after any meal she had prepared. Doing so does not invite the desire to cook again. My mom was not lazy, and she never went to bed with a dirty kitchen. She taught me to care for my home and myself daily. I have found that if you discipline yourself, it makes all of your tasks easier, and you will probably start to notice this as a common thread throughout several of my lessons. Paul talks about disciplining his body and bringing it into subjection in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Now, he's speaking here regarding spiritual matters, but we can certainly apply it to physical matters as well. Discipline keeps us on the narrow path. We are far more easily tempted if we do not have discipline, and this is regarding any aspect of our lives. If you are disciplined, you will prepare meals for your family, you will clean up your kitchen and make it presentable once again, you will be convicted of letting your family down when you are often unprepared and unbothered by your job performance as a homemaker. Obviously, the first part of my lesson is scriptural and based off God's Word. The last half is simply instruction and guidance I hope you find helpful, but is by no means the only way to do things. Maybe you are a spontaneous person and you can just work on the fly. Maybe you can pull four random ingredients from your fridge at the end of your busy day and pull off a five-star meal, but this would completely stress me out. I just wanted to share with the young ladies the way that has always worked for me. I'm a creature of habit, I'm a disciplined person, and I thrive on routines. And just FYI, most children thrive on routines as well. Having a set supper time, bath time, bedtime, and other daily routines gives your children stability and comfort because they know what to expect and when to expect it. Young women, if you truly desire to have a home to care for one day, or you are already blessed with one, make sure you are giving your God-given job your best effort. Be convicted of laziness. Train yourself to be disciplined. Work with your spouse on a good routine for your family and run your home with organization and purposeful planning. Older women, let us not forget our roles and always strive to set the example for our younger counterparts. Thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to our next study. Meanwhile, put to death Lazy Daisy and never resurrect her. Keep her in the grave where she belongs and get busy.